Y'all remember when Tannerite first came out? Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking, what, mid-2000s? Some friends of mine, they were like, oh, well, if like one of them makes that much of a boom,
10's like, got to be 10 great. 10
or 20 is going to be great. Mm-hmm. And they filled a washing machine.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Doug.
Happy to have Josh and Doug. And we're also happy to have AmFirst Credit Union as a banner sponsor of the Hayden Outbound Podcast. Locust Fort, Hayden.
Just across the river.
Man, we're right here in the hometown tonight. Let me tell you what you got to look forward to. We've got some great storytelling that I'm looking forward to. I've heard some snippets of some good stories coming up. I've got a thank you card that I should have done last week. But hey, you know what? We're making it right this week. And that comes with a story.
Shout out too.
You got a shout out as well? So we got two of those, come to find out. We got the bracket game. We're bringing it back. I think people like it. You at the helm of the bracket game tonight with favorite nicknames.
Yep. If you don't like them, it's my fault.
Well, here's the thing. We only have 8 spots.
And there's probably a better one that we didn't remember.
Put it in the comments. That's what the comment section is for. Right. So put it in there if we got that wrong.
Force your opinion.
Josh is bringing a powerful testimony tonight that I'm aware of, but the world needs to be aware of. So I'm excited for him to tell that. And then we got scripture time, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We're going to be talking about Christian harmony and the challenges that the gospel, the progression of the gospel faces when Christian brothers and sisters are not in harmony. And so, and to be at odds is human, but to stay at odds,
also
probably not a great thing for the gospel.
Probably not good, but yeah.
it's also human to want to do that. But without further ado, Josh, you got the first story.
All right. So I'm going to start it off with a part of the cancer stuff.
Mm.
So if anybody's ever had cancer, you always get a port. Well, you don't always get a port, but the kind that I had a port, right? So I went that morning to get it put in, and because they didn't do it on a certain day, I had to go to the cath lab. Well, me and my wife are in the hospital, and I'm laying there, and this lady comes in, and she's like, I got to shave you before surgery. And I was like, okay. And she, this is hilarious. But so she proceeds to shave me from my neck to my knees, okay?
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm like, I look at Brittany, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure.
It's a big port.
It's a big port. And I told her, I was like, ma'am, I'm only getting a port. And she goes, No. We have to make sure just in case something goes wrong. And I look at my wife and I'm like, first of all, what's going to go wrong here? Well, then the doctor comes in and I tell him about it. And he's like, that's weird. I've never had anybody do that for a port. And I was like, Bernie, I don't think that lady worked here.
Just going around the room.
Did the badge match the face? Did you even pay attention?
I don't know. I didn't look at the badge. You know what I mean?
She didn't even have a badge. So
she probably did. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if she did or not.
She wandered in off the street.
She's out of the psych ward down there just helping out.
This is a service for you.
Yeah.
This is a service.
I'm here to help.
Hey.
Did she ask for a tip?
No. Mm. You know?
You missed an opportunity.
So you got to itch for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
How well did she do?
Well, the razors that they have at the hospital are amazing.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't think they were very good.
Oh, no.
I thought they were single blade.
No, this is like an electric razor that you use. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm well aware.
Yeah, like when they're new, buddy,
it is
baby smooth.
Yeah.
You know?
Hospital's holding no expense on that. We're going to have you a good razor.
But, yeah, what was even funnier is when I came back to get the port out, the doctor comes in and I'm like, they didn't shave me or nothing. He goes, well, they shouldn't have shaved you the first time. And I looked at Brittany and I said, I'm telling you, that lady didn't work here.
No doubt, man.
It's a total stranger just running around shaving folks.
I'm telling you, I don't know where she came from. Still hadn't seen her yet. Yeah.
But I haven't seen her either.
Yeah. I just went back for surgery and they didn't shave me. But I can't say that. I woke up and shaved me from here to my belly button. So,
can we say? We probably shouldn't say what hospital this was.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Shane will try to get us into a place that I've got to edit later, and I'm just not interested in that.
Oh, well, I was just going to be a warning. Maybe we could start. What I was looking at is maybe we need to start a support group.
Like that. Maybe they have been shaved too far.
Maybe others.
Well, y'all are sponsored by Whitney, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hey, if you're out there and you know this lady, you might contact me. I don't know.
If you've been affected by the shave lady.
Yes.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Can I share one? Let me be careful.
okay.
I'm going to say concerning.
There you go.
Can I share a concerning child conversation with you guys?
You had or one of your children had?
I was listening. My youngest is talking.
Okay.
I have some hemostats, speaking of medical, some hemostats that just ride in my truck. They're just little clamps. Mm-hmm. And they'll stay where you want them. They got little clicks. Well, they just ride in my cup holders because so many uses. Well, my youngest is sitting there just clicking them, messing with them, riding over here. She looks at me. Daddy, where would I need to stab you with these to kill you?
You're over there like, first of all, if you're going to stab me with them, make sure it's somewhere I can clamp them off with these hemostats.
This is my most docile, nonviolent offspring.
Is that that's said, your baby? Youngest, right?
Have I done substitution? Yeah, she done? Said no. But if somebody was attacking me, I want to know where I could, if I had these, could I take care of myself? I said, maybe. Mm-hmm. But just to be sure, you're not mad at me about anything, are you?
I mean, I was going to ask, is this hypothetical?
That's what I was wondering.
Look, we're driving down the road. Please do not stab me right now.
And right. She has been introduced to intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, she, if she's voicing them now, she's had them before. So
she's worried about self-protection.
Well, maybe she's heard something at school. Or
she's wondering about the heart. Could it get to the heart?
Oh.
I was saying, okay, we're going for the big guns here.
Yeah,
right. And I said, you're going to have to go in between two ribs to make that happen.
God, you're really getting in there. I mean,
and then her next one, if I stabbed you in the bladder, would it kill you?
Bladder?
I mean, at some point in time.
I said, you're looking at infection. We're talking several days.
Yeah.
If you're successful.
Well, that's going to be painful.
Sepsis is not going to be fun.
No.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, I digress, but that was, it caught me off guard.
Is this your youngest?
Yeah.
So you haven't got to meet my youngest yet, neither one of y'all. But Virginia, I am wholeheartedly convinced that the youngest is automatically feral. Automatically.
Mm.
Yeah.
They get a little less attention from the discipline, or mine did. Just to be honest. Yeah. I'm saying it out here for the world.
My little girl is definitely.
You've never even looked at her cross.
Come on, man.
That's the truth.
Look, I'm not going to lie.
I think it's just little girls.
I don't either.
I think it's just little girls. You know, I've got three boys, man. They were easy. Easy peasy. That little girl's come along. Wow.
So you mean, did boy, 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 girl?
Yeah. Yeah.
She lost her mind about 9:30. She needed to be in bed by 8. That was the mm-hmm. first problem. But about 9:30, she went into some sort of self-deprecating mood of, I mean, she was just the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm the worst. No, you're not, baby. You're not. Everything's fine.
You're good.
Chill out. I'm the fattest.
Whoa, I said, here we go.
Jeez. What do you know about fat? You can't even spell it. No, I am. And I said, come here to me. Come here. No, let me go. Let me go. And I said, no, come here. And I went to pinching her. I was like, I can't. She said, stop pinching me. Stop. I'm the fattest. And I was like, what? Who did you hear that from today?
Listen, right? It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
At 6?
Yeah, at 8.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
9?
Now, Jace, my...
On Thursdays?
My Thursdays.
Basically, if it's a day that ends with Y.
I do know my nephew likes to throw that around, though, a little bit.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
No.
You're fat.
Ooh.
No. Oh. Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate that. My self-confidence really needed that.
I had to adjust my shirt a little bit. Glad
I'm on this side.
Anywhere in dark color.
I know. You know.
Let's tell another story, John.
All right. We were talking work stuff earlier. So, I know I'm supposed to be better than this. Okay.
But we all have our moments.
You're one of those where you're at work and something goes wrong and you're like, I am just so irritated right now.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guys, good friend of mine, you know, awesome dude. But he annoyed me all day. And I was like, that's fine. I'm older. Like, I've been in this business a whole lot longer. I got some real good ways of payback. Shouldn't have done it. I just want to go ahead and say that.
Okay.
But he threw a Mountain Dew bottle. I was cutting something. He threw a Mountain Dew bottle, and I cut into the piece I was cutting with a cutting torch, oxyacetylene torch. And I was like, okay. So Joshua proceeds to take the Mountain Dew bottle, and I drilled a hole right through the top of it. And I might have added a little bit too much of his oxyacetylene. I thought it was going to shoot off. It did not. Well, it did. It made it about 5 feet before it went off, and it shook the building. And it was just a Mountain Dew bottle. Mm-hmm. And hilarious, I thought.
Yeah.
And everybody around us thought it was funny. He, however, did not. So, lesson learned. No, I can't say that. Even our oldest guy didn't have a heart attack. So, you know, like,
I got to go back just a little bit because I'm not sure. I'm not in that world. Take me back to the Mountain Dew bottle. We've got a plastic 20-ounce Mountain Dew bottle.
16.9.
Okay. Yeah. You fill it up with
oxygen acetylene. So, you ever seen a cutting torch?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if you don't know, you can take oxygen acetylene and put it in like a balloon or something like that, and it'll make a heck of a boom.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if you put it in a Mountain Dew bottle, and I'm over here thinking it's got a hole in it, so it's not going to explode. It's just going to shoot off like a rocket. No.
Boy, was you wrong.
Was I wrong.
Too small of exhaust.
No, way. It's just not the right propellant here. It's just more of a boom. And but I was listening to another one of y'all's podcasts where a guy was talking about, it was actually Ford.
Oh.
Where he was talking about the, was a transformer that, that blew up. And it made me think of that. And because he was sitting all the way across the shop from me, and I thought it's just going to shoot off and let go over there. But no, apparently it went off and he tried to jump the welding table. And hilarious. I mean, y'all aren't laughing, but I thought it was funny.
I'm just trying to see
Phillip's over here like, I've never seen such things. But
have you just thought like a hand grenade once you set it on fire?
No, man. I laid it on the table and I took the torch and I was like trying to, you know, ignite the gas. Boom. So it would, so it would go off.
There wasn't no
how far away was
well, there
he
was
when,
an
you,
ignite.
When
it
kinda, blew up?
How far what?
How far away was he when it blew up?
I don't know. 15, 20 feet away from, like he was 15, 20 feet away from me. And it made it about halfway with the propellant. That was not a propellant.
Now I see.
So imagine mortar, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, homemade
a
mortar.
Grenade.
As he comes over there with blood trickling out of his ears.
No, we had earplugs in. I made sure.
Safety first, right?
No, it's safety third. You know, it should have been propellants in my mind first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
gosh.
Awesome. I learned it from like the old guys used to do stuff like
that. Oh, yeah.
So like we had one time, and I'm not gonna say the place or his name, but he thought it'd be a great idea. So I filled a Mountain Dew bottle. He filled a 55-gallon trash bag.
Whoa.
And put it outside of the shop and like laid toilet paper down and lit the toilet paper and runs back inside and shuts the door and he doesn't tell anybody what's going on. And this, well, the boss was standing up on top of the hill watching him do it the entire time. Like, the man that owns the company was watching him. And when this thing went off, it threw every tool on the wall, on the floor. And, yeah.
I got to try it.
I got to try it.
You
got
a torch. You got one, I figure,
Maybe after this we can
let's
try
do it.
Well, you know what also works.
Are you willing to do all the fire and everything and I can just stand back?
Shoot, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't tempt me with a good time.
Okay.
So what also works for that is dry ice.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was in Tool and Die for a while, and sometimes we had to, you know, like if you had like a part that needed to be like a press in fit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take like a cylinder or something like that, we would put it in dry ice. And it'll actually cause it to shrink, and then you can place it, and then it'll expand and all that. Well, we would take that dry ice after we used it for, you know, its purpose or whatever, and we would we'd put it in a bottle. And so you put it in, you know, whatever kind of bottle. You know, we learned that Gatorade bottles were the best because they're thicker.
I suppose,
but you know, like get the big Gatorade bottles.
Probably I should have
used. You put that dry ice in it, and then just put a little bit of water and throw it. And so
water and throw.
Yep. Yeah, you don't want to be holding it. Yeah. But yeah, when that thing, man, we did it one night and we thought we'd be cute and we went and got one of the big, you know, 2 liter like drink bottles. And we put a bunch of dry ice in it and filled it up with water. And man, when that thing blew up, it sounded like a bomb going off. And, you know, like Josh, I'm not going to mention the name of the company, but we were in Tarrant. And so it literally sounded like a bomb going off. And I wasn't there the night that this happened, but I'm pretty sure they did that. You know, we would do that pretty often because we were, you know, night shift wild. But one night they did that and it was so loud that the fire department ended up showing up. So yeah,
well, you know, good James, times, man. James Spann has a whole website.
This was before he had
the website. Yeah. Oh, no.
This was before the What's website. What's on the website?
This is news to me.
You don't know about the Bama Booms?
No.
Yeah, man. Right. The Bama Booms. There's
an entire website devoted to people reporting random booms.
Sure enough. Mm-hmm.
Here are two of the random booms that are on the website, guaranteed.
Anonymous.
Nobody knows what they were. No. Oh, yeah.
Now, I will say the one with the trash bag, it will be on, it was long, like it was a good while ago, but Blount County did get called, and they just kept riding up and down the road trying to figure out what was going on.
It was a log. There was a log call.
There is a log on that one.
Wow.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with that one, though, just so everybody knows.
Sure, off this.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But
the closest thing I came to being part of a Bama Boom was eating Taco Bell at the wrong time of night.
There you go. I got nothing.
When time is of the essence, Abby relies on Amphers to keep her on track. With Amphers, experience, convenience, security, and the freedom to shop your way, no matter how hectic the day.
If you know, you know.
Amherst, dare to be iconic.
Y'all remember when Tannerite first came out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking, what, mid-2000s? Some friends of mine decided that if 5 pounds, was it the 5 pound canister? Isn't that what it is? I think it's like.
Or 1 pound canister.
Or the 1 pound canister. They were like, oh, well, if like one of them makes that much of a boom,
10's like got to be 10 great.
10 or 20 is going to be great. Mm-hmm. And they filled a washing machine full of like, we're going to say 15 to 20 is what I'm going to say. And it was loud enough that when it went off, yet again, Blount County did get called. But all of our parents started calling because it rattled picture frames in the house. That one would have definitely been on that Bama Booms.
Yeah. I don't know how Tannerite is legal.
I was just wondering that.
But it is.
Yeah, I've wondered that too. Like, how is that legal?
I have no idea, because you can put enough of it together. Well, Trent did a prime example of that destroy a vehicle.
Wasn't it a car or like an SUV?
The last show. Like
Subaru.
Tannerite was the culprit for that.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. That stuff's like
dynamite. What about the washing machine? And then we can move on to the next thing. What did it look like?
I mean, it was gone. There was nothing left. Like it,
you couldn't find any of it.
Nothing.
That's awesome.
Well, I won't say you couldn't find any of it. There's probably some stuck in a tree still to this day somewhere.
Wow. Like metal detector.
Yeah. I mean, we've
how
seen
that. How far back were you?
Well, I wasn't there for that.
Right. Or then.
Yeah.
Half a day.
I don't know. I mean, I'd say they were
100 yards.
I don't know. Like, I love them to death, but they were probably way too close. Ooh. They probably should have been. Man. if they watch this, they're going to know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like I said, love y'all to death, just so you know.
You made the show.
Mm-hmm. You made the show. Not going to call you out, though.
Can I give my shout out real quick?
You want to go ahead and do it? Yeah. You feeling it?
Well, because it could have led to a Bama Boom.
Mm. Yeah, let's hear it. I'll go ahead and do mine, too.
Well, I let one of the guys that worked with me take my vehicle to do a job for me the other day. I said, hey, just take my equipment because I'm not going to be able to go, but you can just take mine and that way it'll all be done. Well, he gets up there and I knew my tires had been getting a little thin. I knew it. Mm-hmm. But I had a lot of stuff going on. You can admit I've had a lot of stuff going on recently.
Got a lot going on. I'm surprised you're here today.
So,
but Steve's not.
But Steve, yeah, Steve is not here. Steve never has anything going on anyway. His shirts are always
too tight. Got so much not going on that he can't be.
What'd you say? His shirts are either too tight.
Yeah.
Or there's no gas
in his vehicle. Yeah, no gas in his vehicle. Absolutely. Well, I get a phone call when he gets back to the. And where he had to go was about 2.5 hours from the driveway. So, and it was a hot, one of those hot days. I mean, one of those that, hot enough to make the devil cry.
Today.
I say so, right? Yeah, like today.
Yeah.
And anybody knows anything about tires, hot days and tires, bad tires
mm-hmm.
don't mix. When he pulled back up in the driveway, he sent me a picture and he said, "You've got to get some new tires." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And he sent me a picture. He said, "No, I mean, you've got to get, like, you cannot go anywhere yet."
Don't even go to the tire store, okay?
He sent me a picture of a tire that looked like a hot air balloon was coming out of one side of it.
Oh, that's
bad. It was just...
The belt couldn't even hold it.
Yeah. No, the belt had broken, and the only thing that was really probably containing it was the fact that they are 14-ply, low-profile tires. And I said, "Man..." He's like, "I don't know how I made it home." And I said, "I have no idea either." But I guess that hot trip just they finally give up the ghost. Anyway.
Anyhow.
Contacted Mr. Dingler with Dingler's Tractor Repair. So is that a Bluntsville? I was going to give him a shout out because that man came on a Sunday afternoon. Ooh. He had my tires. Got my tires, and he said, I'll be there Sunday afternoon so that I could be able to operate again on Monday.
And he put them on here. He
put them on here.
So you minded not to leave again.
I did not leave again.
That's the most part of this story.
Well, I would have been a Bama Boom. It would have happened.
Buddy, I'm not going to leave my house. You mind coming over here on a Sunday to change my tires?
That's incredible.
Yep, Mr. Dingler. Dingler's Equipment Repair. That's it, out of Bluntsville. So if you ever need anything.
That red bottle room,
if you ever need anything. Uh-oh.
What my shout-out's in it?
Oh, well, I was going to say, we're going to have prayer. Please pray over the tires that I got now.
Yeah.
He said, did somebody ask that man if you're, what is it, your ox is stuck in the mud?
Oh, it would have been in the ditch. It would have.
That's for sure. Like, tell that tire to
put
that chewing gum out. You know what I mean?
And they ride great. He did a fantastic job. All's well in the world.
Well, I'm glad you kept Shane safe because he would have been gone again. And so that he'd prayed about it and just
left. Yeah, Lord, hold on to him one more day. I got to go.
Keep them together.
He's out there praying over the trailer before he leaves.
Yeah, he's laying hands on it.
It's me again.
It's me again, Lord.
Well, here's another shout out. The Foley Farm, established in 1860. This is all the way up in Ridge Spring, South Carolina. Now, I'm not going to do any more name dropping, but this is, I am going to say Miss Cheryl, because Miss Cheryl baked me, and I guess it might have been for you too, but
Wait a minute.
You wouldn't have liked it.
Hand me the Bible.
I love how.
No, we ain't got to do that. She baked me a homemade, my favorite, German chocolate cake and mm-hmm. sent it down here. And they came to worship with us and brought that German chocolate cake. Incredible.
I love how he says she baked
me.
Well, it's not your favorite.
I can't even.
It's not your favorite. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
I know you didn't like
it. Maybe you get one next time. Or maybe when we go to South Carolina, you can.
I'm somehow or another, I feel like.
You've been railroaded.
I do feel like this. It's not your favorite. Don't worry about it. You were busy. I didn't even get a text message.
You don't even like chocolate.
I didn't even get a text message.
You could at least send him a picture so he could have been like, that sure does look
good. Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, just do something. Just to not do anything.
Miss Cheryl, right?
Yeah, Miss Cheryl at the Foley Farm, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Miss Cheryl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for feeding Phil, because
I need it.
He definitely needs it more than I do. But
I need it. Well, let's tell that story
real quick. Yeah, let's go on.
You know what's funny, though, real quick, is the fact that he was like, I need it. But then in just a minute ago, he was like, I had to pull my shirt out a little
That's part of why I'm having to pull my shirt out, because I ate an entire German chocolate cake, homemade. It was delicious.
You didn't share.
But they have a, they have all kinds of vegetables and homemade goods and everything else.
This farm, so she's probably, I bet she's probably got raw milk, too.
I didn't ask about that.
Well, you know, that's a thing nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had, have you drank any?
No, I'm not a milk guy.
You're not a big milk guy.
Really? Mm-hmm. You ever had broke bone? Surprising.
That's science.
That's science. We're getting a little bit too deep into science.
Yeah, let's stay out of science.
Let's get on here. And,
Math.
A couple weeks ago, I just got a hankering.
Oh, no.
I wanted to get on the raw milk train.
Okay.
And I had, there's a family in Logs Fork that sells pet milk now. Mm-hmm. It's pet milk for pets only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you fed it to your calves.
Mm-hmm. Pets only.
Well, that's what it's originally.
That was for. That's what I heard anyway. You know what I mean?
Well, I went and gathered up some pet milk, and I got a gallon. It's two half gallons. And I didn't know how, I really didn't know how I was going to like it. Because it seems, why does it seem weird to me that I want to drink, like drinking raw milk? They have done such a good job of altering your mind on this pasteurization and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Political.
It's probably because it's good for you. I'm not getting into it. I'm just saying.
You did such a good job not being political.
Yeah, okay, well, I won't get political. I'm just saying that there has to be something. Like, there's two sides of it. I see the reason why we do it, and I see the reason why we don't. But I was just going to try. I just wanted to see what would happen. Because I thought that the lactose in it, and it being raw milk, I would be sitting on the toilet for a day. I said, this is going to mess me up.
You got to go back there.
Okay. Back to the toilet.
It's not, well, I mean,
he can't stay out.
At least it's not Taco Bell.
Everybody does it, right? It's not Taco Bell.
Everybody likes to talk about it.
Everybody.
But anyway, back to you. You got 2 gallons of milk.
Okay, so
raw milk. Go ahead.
Right, I got 1 gallon of raw milk.
That he fed to his calves.
In 2 containers.
I drank every drop of that within like 4 days.
Whoa.
I'm pretty sure I gained about 5 or 6 pounds from it.
Nice. But how do you feel?
Fantastic.
Really?
But you do.
It didn't bother me at all.
Like a new person?
I know. I didn't really see any real movement.
I see. Nice.
What was that?
I see. I thought we were going to do no jokes tonight.
Hey, where's the drums at, man?
Yeah. No, anyway, I just thought it was
That's
cool.
That's a real 100%. Just get ready.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a real.
That's a million views right there. I want everybody, when that comes out, I want to see that like button. Hit it. And speaking of like, well, let's go ahead and do that right now. If you're enjoying the content for some reason, hit the subscribe button. That's free. And also the like button's free, and it helps us a ton. Yep, so
absolutely.
Hit it.
For some reason.
That's my raw milk story.
I don't have one, so we're going to have to talk about something else.
Okay.
I barely drink it out of the plastic jug.
Ghost milk good. It's good.
Here we go.
Well, I mean, you get it.
I didn't mean. Look, I digress. Let's go somewhere else.
Mexican restaurant every time you go there if you get queso.
That's
what it is. It's goat milk.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's what queso is.
I hear that's why it's so good.
Probably.
That's science.
I mean, I'll probably we're not science talking here, all right?
Hey, you started it.
Yeah. I didn't. No, Shane started it. No, I didn't start it.
I ain't been talking about no science now, brother.
No, you brought up milk.
That's right. Into reading.
That's right.
Where you want to go now?
Douglas, have you told another one?
Douglas, you're going to tell another one.
Go ahead.
Well,
you said you had something to brag on Jesus or something. Can I have another water? Sorry.
Man,
I'm having a good time now.
Well, I thought she was going to tell your boat story.
Okay. Well, I can tell that. So, I know y'all got a lot of fishermen that watch the show, and we were 11th, 12th grade, something like that. probably had no business being in a boat by ourselves anyways, but whatever.
There we go.
Exactly. So we take the boat to Gunnersville, and we're going to go out for, like, my parents are taking their camper up there. We're going to just fish this entire week. I didn't check the boat out because it ain't my boat. I had a life jacket. I know that. You know, I could float. But if anybody knows anything about Gunnersville, there's a barge lane right in the middle of this thing. So we light out in the boat, and we get right in the middle of that barge lane, and this boat just shuts off.
Hmm.
And I was like, hey, man, didn't you say this boat was fine? He's like, yeah, man, I don't know what's wrong with it. And I was like, oh, it's not good. So he's like, well, we'll just put the trolling motor down, and we'll motor our way back. Battery's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, cool. You got paddles, though, right? No, man, I ain't got paddles.
Mm.
I'm like, and if you know anything about where the state park is and where the barge lane is, it's like, I'd say a mile,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to proceed to jump out of this boat and hold on to the rope you would use to tow it, or just, you know, hold on to it as it's going on the trailer and try to swim our way back, towing like a 18-foot bass boat.
That sounds terrible.
It was mm-hmm. terrible. It took like 6 hours to get back over there, and just hoping you don't
drown.
Hey, life check.
Well, like, you used to call me, you know, Porky Junior. So I mean, it probably had something to do with
floated
my
a little bit.
My weight,
your buoyancy.
Yeah, I just floated. Buoyancy. Buoyancy. Yeah. Mr. Science.
Hop out and push, buddy.
You know,
but you made it back.
Can you push the boat back to the dock?
Right.
We did make it back, and then he was like, "Hey, man, we're out of gas." And I'm like,
ain't got no gas.
I mean,
ain't got no gas.
First thing.
Yep.
Get you yeah.
time. Well, he brought up the nickname. Do we want to go ahead and get the bracket going?
I mean, that's up to you. I just thought it was funny.
Oh, sorry.
I think we've only got 3 stories told.
Sorry.
Hey, well, I've been trying, all right?
We've told stories.
It's been our fault, for real.
No, we've talked about it. Hey, this is how I was hoping it was going to go.
Whatever, this raw milk.
Raw milk. That was a story, though.
No, yeah, kind of.
I got a couple that can go with that.
Please,
you know,
please.
The two that'll kind of go
Shane
together.
Walks out of the shed,
before we get off track again.
Yeah.
All right. So you're talking about running out of gas, right? So, you know, me and Mandy and our kids, we were up at the lake, and, you know, up at Gunnersville, and a buddy of ours had his boat up there,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he had come over to the campground and parked it at the dock and everything. And he got out and the kids were playing and all. And the kids were like, hey, can we go back out on the boat? You know, can we go ride for a little while? So I asked him, I said, hey, man, you know, can I take the kids out and, you know, take them for a ride and everything? He said, sure. Yeah, take off. Well, I didn't realize he didn't have but about a half a tank of gas in that boat. And that boat, man, it burned gas like crazy. Mm-hmm. So we're out riding, you know, and of course the fuel gauge doesn't work. Like, it's non-existent. There's no fuel gauge there at all. And so we're riding and everything. I think everything's good and all. And we'd come, you know, we went up river a good ways, and we'd come back and we went right past the campground, not thinking about it. Kept on going. We're riding. Everything's cool. And she goes to spitting and sputtering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, we run out of gas.
Yeah.
So I'm back, you know, I'm trying to start it, and I'm looking at the motor, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Because I knew there was a little bit of an issue with the starter, you know, and there's a few little things. And so I'm back there. Look, I ain't no mechanic by no means, but I can tinker a little bit. I can usually get something running. I never thought about gas. You know, that was the furthest thing from my mind. So I'm just back there working on it. Finally, it's out of gas, right? Well, we look up, and, man, there is the meanest, nastiest-looking storm rolling in. I'm talking about black clouds. So here I am. I'm out on the middle of the lake. I've got my wife and kids, and I've put them in a situation that's, like, horrible, you know, and people are riding by. They see us there, and I've got the engine cover up. People just boogieing on past us, not even checking up. And I'm like, man, come on, guys. Like, I got my wife and kids out here. Somebody stop and help me. Well, you know, after I sat there and sweat on it for a little while, the Lord sent somebody by. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody come by, and they had a rope and everything, and they tied off to us and pulled us on in. And I'm telling you, like, we got there right in the nick of time. And luckily, like, those people, they were good too. Like, they got to the campground, they got off, we waited for the storm to pass, everything was fine. you know, it was scary. You know, my kids are scared to death. My wife's scared to death. And, you know, I'm getting an earful for, you know, putting us out there in that situation. But it, you know, it got me to thinking, you know, God sent somebody by to help us in that time, you know, that we were stranded. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I said, you know, Lord, if I ever get a chance, you know, if I ever see something like that again, you know, obviously I'm going to, you know, help somebody else. Mm-hmm. If somebody's nice enough to help me. And so this past 4th of July, we were out on the lake, you know, with my parents, and we're having a good time and everything. And we went and watched the fireworks show. And so we're headed back in, and I didn't even notice it. My dad spotted it. There was a guy that was broke, and he's broke down, and he's in a little bitty boat, and he's got like four people on it. And the waves are so bad that they look like they're about to come in on him. And so we spun around, went back, checked on him, and he's like, "Yeah, man, I'm broke down." You know, he said that there's something going on with the carburetor. He said, I can't get this thing to start up. And so we were like, "Okay, cool. You know, we'll help you." And so he points over toward what's that, where Big Mike's is and all that, City Harbor.
Yeah.
So he points over there. He's like, "Hey, look, if you can get me over there, you know, I'll sit here and I'll work on it and everything." I was like, "Well, where's your, you know, what dock are you at? Where's the boat ramp?" He said, "Oh, it's across the lake." I said, "Well, man, we're not going to take you halfway. We're going to take you all the way."
Yeah.
That made me think, you know, the Lord don't take us halfway.
Nope.
He don't do anything halfway. He does everything all the way. He'll go all the way with you. He's not going to leave you stranded. He's not going to get you halfway down the road and say, "Nah, you know, we'll just leave you right here. You can figure out the rest on your own."
Mm-hmm.
So we ought not do that with people. You know, if somebody's mm-hmm. broke down, help them.
Yeah.
So we tie off and we're carrying them in. And, you know, I think it was like, I don't know how long it was, but it's a good little ways across the lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we're getting him over there and everything. And we get to the ramp. And of course, everybody's trying to get out because of the fireworks. I mean, there's a million boats on the mm-hmm. lake. And so I pulled him up to our boat. That way there's not like we didn't want somebody to run across the road because people don't pay attention. They'll fly through there and
mm-hmm.
end up tearing everything up, hurting somebody. So I pulled him up next to our boat and we pulled him in to the bank that way. Man, he's trying to pay us. He's trying to give us money.
He's tickled.
Oh man, he was so happy. He kept trying to give us money. And so, but I thought, you know, freely we've received, so freely mm-hmm. we should give.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I said, the Lord struck me down if I was taking money from you.
My boat is sinking.
And so we get him over there and we just kind of, you know, we wanted to get him to the bank. That way he could pull his boat over to his, you know, to the dock and all that. So we just kind of get him drifting toward the bank, right? So Dad stands up, throws the rope to him, says, "Keep the rope," because he kept trying to give us money. He said, and we done told him no, but he felt bad. He wanted to give us money. Dad throws the rope, says, "Hey, man, keep the rope. Have a good one. Good luck to you." And we turned around and left. You know, that once we made sure he was good and he was awesome. Safe. But, you know, when stuff like that happens, I always try to find God in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to, how can we use this to learn a lesson? You know, and to me, the lesson was, one, Jesus never takes us halfway. He always does everything complete, gets you all the way there. Mm-hmm. And two, freely we've received, freely we should give. We mm-hmm. shouldn't expect somebody that's down on their luck to turn around and pay us after we help them.
Yep.
So
I thought about the go 1 mile, go with them too.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of my thought.
I thought about, you know, when you get a free chocolate cake to share it.
This whole time, that's what you're thinking.
We're talking about forgiveness here just a little bit. Just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
I didn't say you
were freely you were given, freely you should give.
Right? Yeah.
Man, he's just going to turn around and throw you back under that bus, huh?
Shane said, "I forgive you, but I won't forget."
This is Hey Now Mom podcast where we love one another.
We hold no grudges.
Apparently not enough to share a chocolate cake, though.
My goodness.
I mean, that's a serious accusation right there.
I have one story to tell. It seems like Shane's ready to end the show. I've got one story to tell. But I want to give Josh an opportunity. You made a list. You brought a list. Do you have one that you'd like to tell before I tell the one to go in the bracket game?
I got a good funny one.
Okay.
We were talking yet again about work. So me and Brittany traveled a lot when I first got into the whole welding side mm-hmm. of everything. And I welded at nuclear power stations for a little while. But you've known me long enough to know that's not what's wrong with me.
that started way before
that
then.
Could have been where cancer came from, but you know, whatever. I ain't gonna say that. I'm up there, I'm working, and this happened to one of my friends that I traveled with. But if you know anything about nuclear powerhouses, when you work in a certain area of them, you know, you have a chance of getting contaminated. Now, a lot of the time, I'm going to say a lot of the time because this is the only time I've ever heard about it going this extensive. A lot of the time, you can wash it off pretty fair, you know.
Dawn.
I don't remember what kind of soap they use. Actually, I think it was just like regular body wash. But this is in Nebraska, though. And I'm telling y'all this because we were coming to the end of this, and we had just came in for day shift. My buddy on night shift hadn't made it back to the I don't even remember. We was using like a trailer for our office building. But he hadn't made it back in. And we're waiting, and he still hadn't made it back in. And one of the other guys that he works with finally walks in, and he goes, "Hey, he's not going to be in here for a little while." Turns out he got contaminated. And I was like, "Oh, man, that sucks." You know, like, that's terrible. Turns out, though, they tried to do like the shower thing and did not get it off. So then, what was it? The guard was like, "Look, man, you got to." I think they tried to shower twice. And he was like, "Look, if the shower don't take it off this time, you got to shave." And he was like, "Really?" And I ain't talking about the good quality razor that they used for me in surgery. I'm talking about like one of them single blade Bic razors. Yeah, baby. So it goes all the way to as far as he can't get this off. So he has to shave. If I remember right, it was like his head, his beard, his chest, his arms. And then they were like, he goes, "All right, can I have my clothes back?" And they were like, "Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, you can't have your clothes back." And they gave him these, like, paper
gown.
Look, a gown that you get at the hospital is way better than what he got. It was literally, like, paper. Mm. And it was, like, paper shorts and a paper shirt. And this is, like, November in Nebraska. Mm. So he comes walking back in, and the funniest part about the whole thing, I hated it for him, but the funniest part is like he's trying to like walk really quick. And I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing? Like that? I know you're cold." He goes, "Yeah, but these pants keep ripping off." He's like, "I still got to make it all over the parking lot."
Oh, gosh.
So he's wearing like these paper shorts and these boots. I mean, it's a funny story, but if anybody works nukes, they know that it is, you better watch what you're doing.
And for some reason, you laughed at me earlier when I suggested a group for unwarranted shavings.
For generations, people trusted Amfirst with their financial needs. 90 years later, so do I. They're not going anywhere.
So we rode out Bertha in Orange Beach, Alabama last week. And we were down at the pool deck one day. And right before the hurricane, I guess it was a hurricane, came in, it was like thunderstorm clear, we're out on the pool deck. Every time a thunderstorm would come up, if you heard thunder, it was 30 minutes. The security guards would come out there, get everybody out of the pool. Well, this happened several times in a row. Well, the last time it happened, this family that was sitting beside us, they were not happy. They wouldn't get their kids out of the pool. And here comes the two security guards. They're going to enforce this. Mm-hmm. And they said, we'll get our kids out of the pool, but we're not leaving the pool deck. And one of the security guards was fixing the flex.
You're getting up.
But now, the other security guard just said, "It's okay. I'm watching this, taking it in." I'm thinking, what is he? He knows something. And they just walk away. Everything's calm. 3 minutes later, it's raining so hard that they can't get their stuff up fast enough mm-hmm. to get off that pool deck and run in the. And the security guard that calmed the situation mm-hmm. down is just over there propped up on the fence, just smiling mm-hmm. and just watching. And before I went in, I said, "That was pretty slick." And he said, "Happens every time."
You learn some things.
And I thought, man, that's a lesson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of life. If you can just hold your cool, Mm-hmm. When you know it's going to take care of itself, not kick over the anthill, how much trouble could you avoid in life?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, but to the flip side of that, how much trouble can you avoid in your life if you would just listen to somebody that, I'm just trying to help you out.
And they would not have gotten all their stuff soaked if they would have just listened to
just it. Trying to help you out.
Seems like this guy's done this a few times.
Absolutely.
You know, like, he's learned some things over the years.
He looked like he'd just won the lottery on the fence, too. He was just, you know,
right,
smug. He was happy, but not mm-hmm. boastful.
I mean, you can go with looking at how the Lord does things on that, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, God's like, hey, if you'll do this, you're not going to be as much trouble. But you're still going to do what I told you to do.
That's right.
In the end. And you're like, I don't know about this. And then the trial.
And then the bracket game. You got the timer?
Oh.
We got 3 minutes for the bracket game. The bracket game is favorite nicknames. We have Porky versus Slim, Ricky versus Bobby, Chico versus Poncho, Bull versus Dog. Round one.
D-A-double-G.
D-A-double-G. Round one, Porky versus Slim. You get one vote.
You get one vote.
Hold on.
Oh, you ain't even started the timer. Whoa. I'm rolling.
Yeah, he you said, are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Go.
Porky versus Slim.
Porky.
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 Porky. Porky's winner. Porky goes round two. Ricky versus Bobby.
Ricky.
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 Ooh, wow. Yeah,
we had to do no rock, paper, scissors.
Like-mindedness. Chico versus Poncho.
1,000% Chico.
Poncho.
I'm going to say Poncho.
Poncho from
me. Golly, come on.
That's what I'm talking about.
Bull versus Dog.
D-A-W-G.
I'm going to say Dog.
Bull. This has nothing against your uncle. But I got to go D-A-W-G. Yes, final four, Porky versus Ricky.
Porky.
Ricky.
Porky.
Ricky. Y'all got to do rock, paper, scissors, shoot for the tiebreaker.
Oh, man. You him do? Okay. All right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, dang. Ricky.
Ricky won on the
dang.
Poncho versus Dog.
D-A-double-G.
Dog.
I'm still going Poncho.
Dog. In the final round, we have Ricky versus Dog.
Ricky.
Ricky.
Dog.
Dog.
Here we go again.
Here we go.
I just don't want Ricky.
I just don't want Ricky to win. That's second right.
Got him
again.
He knew what I was going to do.
Ricky is the winner.
Knew it.
That's my favorite code character when I'm doing the one-person skits. There's always a Ricky.
Nice.
I just like the name.
Man, oh, Ricky.
Testimony time, Josh.
Okay. So, there's a lot to my testimony that I could really get into. But the main thing is, what was it, 2018? I thought I was saved, like truly thought I was saved, but I knew I wasn't living right. So we were sitting at the house. We'd just come home from the road. I just finished up a job in West Virginia. Me and my wife were talking about going to church that morning, and I'm not going to say where we were going. I just didn't like how things were going, where we were at. And I turn on the TV, and Gardnell First Baptist comes on. So I'm over watching Pastor Kevin Hamm. You know, and I looked at my wife and I said, I think we're being called. So if you're not truly saved, I want to go ahead and say this. God will still call you, because I know for sure I wasn't. Mm. God will mm-hmm. still call you where he wants you to go. And he's going to work on you no matter what it is or who he uses. He's going to use something or somebody. Right. I turned TV on. I told my wife, I said, I think we're being called in Gardner First Baptist. And she was like, there's no way. She said, you know, I tried for like 10 years to get you to go and you wouldn't. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Next Sunday, that's where we're going. And I'm here to tell you that the next Sunday I was on my knees. God had a hold of me in a way that I never had done before. And truly got saved that Sunday.
Hmm.
Fast forward. I think it was 2 weeks. Me and my wife both got baptized together So that was a joyous occasion for me, especially, you know, to be able to be baptized with my wife the same Sunday, the same church. That was amazing. Mm. To say God works on everybody. I know how I was before that Sunday. You know, I was rough. Mm. I was pipelining at the time. So if that tells anybody anywhere, anything, I was rough. But we fast forward, we've at the time that I found out I had cancer, you know, we rocked on there for a while. Everything was great. This would have been, I think, pardon me for not remembering exact on the cancer stuff, 21.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
Yeah, because I had known you at the mm-hmm. time. I'd already known you, of course, but 2021, it was November. I found a mass, and this is November of 21. It was the week of Thanksgiving. I saw a urologist. No, I saw my doctor before that. He was like, well, it's either cancer or it's an infection. And I'm like, wow, what a spectrum we got here, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, we're going to treat it as an infection first because we're not going to do all the cancer stuff. And you have to go through all that just in case it's not. Turned out it wasn't. It was cancer. But we go to see the urologist right at the end of the month. And he's like, well, we'll do ultrasound next Wednesday. And I'm like, all right, cool. Next Wednesday we make it. We're doing the ultrasound. And the technician was like, hey, you know, I'm fixing to leave. She's like, hey, if there wasn't blood flow, I couldn't let you leave. And I was like, man, that's weird. Like, why would you say that? She goes, I can't tell you anything else. So I'm leaving this appointment. I'm like, oh, sweet. This is nice. You know, why would I worry about that? But in all honesty, yet again, God still did not give me one worry about even after that. Like, I walked out and I'm like, what do we do? You know what I mean? Like, we rock and roll with it. Whatever happens, happens. That was Wednesday. Thursday morning, I was at work. It rocks on. I call him at lunch. He calls me right back, and he's like, hey, I need you in here, like, today for blood work, and we need to prep for surgery on Monday morning. And I'm like, well, apparently it's something bad enough. We do surgery on Monday morning, which was the 3rd of January at that time. So 3rd of January, 22. But we rock on. We think we're cancer-free. We get to, like, the spring, if I remember right, of 22. Doc comes in, and he's like, hey, unfortunately, your numbers are still wrong. So we're going to keep a watch on them for a little bit longer, and then we might have to go through a round of chemo. The doctor called me on my birthday, and the doctor was like, hey, the numbers aren't good. We are going to have to do chemo. God still had, at this point in the chemo, had still given me a peace. You know, if I die at that point, I'm going to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's going to be perfect. If I don't, awesome. I get to hang out, and I get to see my baby be born. I get to see my kids grow up. But we finished the first, and that was hard, hard, hard. And I think, okay, I'm finally done. We rock on. Virginia was born the 8th of September. We found out just before that my numbers had gone back up. So we're fixing to have to do 4 more rounds of this, which, like I said, 3 weeks apiece for each round. And I'm not looking forward to it at all. But at the same time, it is what it is. Good Lord's going to take care of us one way or another. We rock on through all that, and I have to go. I had gone through all of our, through my chemo there, the 4 rounds. And to say God is good through everything, like the middle of this, the house gets hit with a tornado. You have to see the blessing as a blessing and not a burden. I've said it a bunch of times. You know, you have something happen and you're like, man, I'm just so angry about this. Don't look at it like that. Look at, why did God do that? How are you blessing me in this situation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not a burden. It's how you've blessed me in every way. Even if you never see it until you make it to heaven, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
But Randy Cater came by and saw me when I was in the hospital that morning. And I've never really thought about it the way I said it, but he's just talking to me, and I'm like, man, he said, have you ever thought about why you've had to go through this? And I was like, man, I don't know. I said, but if I have to choose one thing, like if the Lord was ever to be like, hey, choose one reason you had to go through it, it's so my kids don't ever have to. I know what it's like to go through this. Now, I'm healthy now. I'm healthy as I can be anyways. We did have another surgery, but I'm healthy now. But if I could ever keep my kids from going through that, yeah. If that's why I had to, then, Lord, I'd do it again if I had to.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Randy said something that stuck with me. He said, do you realize that that's how Jesus felt about us?
Mm.
Not putting myself in that position, so please nobody take it as that. What I'm saying is Jesus loved us so much that he would be beaten, spit on, scourged, hung on a cross. We could go into detail, but in all honesty, he loved us so much that he was like, I'll take that so that you don't have to.
Sure.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm thankful for it. And you absolutely went through a trial, brother. I mean, that was, I'm sure there's a lot more that you could have shared about those days. That was just a snippet, really.
It really is.
I remember you going through it, and I hated to see it, but I'm so thankful today that you're still here with us.
Amen.
And you look great.
I wouldn't that go Fu that
Manchu
far.
Is I mean, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of blending in. I don't know if they can appreciate
it. Hey, man, I like it.
It's great.
I don't.
But. Yeah, I'm sure. Will you hand me that red Bible there? Well, you got to talking about Jesus. We're going to be talking about those who believe in Jesus. Philippians 4, 1 through 3, real quick. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. It's easy to pass over this if you don't dig into it. I love, he starts out, he's like, my crown, I love you guys. Y'all are awesome. You mean so much to me. So you see the love of Paul right there out of the gate. And he gives the application out of the beginning. He says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord, in your belief in Christ, in following Christ. And then he gives them I need y'all to do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Euodias, Syntyche, they help me. They have labored for the Lord, but right now they're not in a good spot. They are not in harmony. So these are believers. These are Christians. And he's wanting his yoke fellow, which he doesn't even name, and Clement with other fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life, go and help them. Go help them to get back in harmony, diminish, decrease this division.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, he doesn't go into it, but when I think about this, and I think about division, division is human. We all got our things. We've been at odds. We will be at odds. It's easy to get at odds.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when two believers are at odds with one another, especially something that we can fix, something that we can say, hey, look, I'm wrong, and right. I want to make this right. Now, I'm not saying there's all kinds of problems, and I'm not pretending to be all of them. But when you've wronged somebody and you genuinely repent and you want to be forgiven, y'all get back together because we need one another to minister for the gospel.
That's right.
Amen.
But the question is, are you man enough to step back and go, I'm in the wrong? Not saying that I haven't been there, but are you man enough to say that I'm in the wrong and I apologize?
Well, that's one side of it. And saying that you're wrong is hard.
Yeah.
Because you got your pride, you got all these other things. Right. But then on the other side, I'm just not forgiving them.
Right.
Well, that's the worldly standpoint of it.
We all need to examine ourselves and see if we examine ourselves, can we say, I can do that? You know, can I get my feelings out of the way to be able to forgive my brother?
Mm-hmm.
Or get my feelings out of the way to go and ask forgiveness of my brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's difficult. I'm not pretending that this is an easy application. Not easy. And there's all kinds of things that people have done wrong and been wrong. But I think that if we're willing to see how important it is, that he was like, look, we got to get these guys back together so that we can minister for the gospel. If getting the gospel out there so others can be saved, like you testified a few minutes ago, I think that can be a motivation if we're willing to let it to be willing to do whatever we need to do, whether we need to go forward or whether we need to receive who's coming forward,
yeah,
so that you can get back together. And I think that's important for the ministry of the gospel and growing the kingdom.
It's also important for your influence.
Yeah.
The influence, like, you know, to grow the kingdom together, we have to keep our influence intact.
Mm.
And so when the world, when the ones that are lost see us and how we interact with each other,
mm-hmm,
if they see there's no difference between us and them,
makes a difference. Yeah.
Then why would they want to be one of us?
Yeah,
that's right. Well, I mean, you hit it right on the head too. You know, you said, I think you have to see it from both sides, the way you were saying, mm-hmm, it a minute ago. You know, one, if you're the one that has to, I don't want to call it eating crow, but, mm-hmm, and yeah, how many times of our neck of the woods have you heard one of the older gentlemen, well, you had to eat that crow, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have to look at it from the other side. If one of your brothers is standing here going, look, you're right, and I was wrong, I apologize. Don't down him for that. Brother, hey, it's all right. You know what I mean? Like, we might have had a difference, but that, mm-hmm, don't mean that we're down and out with, mm-hmm, each other. You know what I mean? We're still here.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have to see it from both sides. It's not one of those, buddy, I was wrong, and then you're like, well, I told you was wrong.
Yeah, that's, I never appreciate that.
Well, you know, eating crow is not very palatable, but, you know, I found that chocolate cake.
I knew it was coming.
Really,
well,
can bring
Thomas clothes. Jefferson said, I think he's attributed to this, if you're going to eat crow, eat it while it's young and tender.
Mm. Is that what he said?
I knew that somehow we'd get back to the chocolate cake.
In all seriousness, though, you're right. And stepping up and saying you were the one that was wrong for something, mm-hmm, really is.
To me, that's harder than asking forgiveness. A lot of times is harder than it is to forgive, oh, yeah, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you're,
I mean,
taking a step forward, baby.
I mean, if I'm, yeah, saying it, it's harder for me to say, man, I was wrong, than it is for me to say, okay, I forgive,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I've definitely forgiven Philip for this.
I wouldn't say that that was true. I don't, yeah, feel forgiven at all.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I mean, and it's not in the Bible here, but do you think that there was like this subtext that didn't make it in that said, you know, Euodius can continue to bring it up after you forget
for as long as it takes for him to feel better.
But the question, yes, is, was there chocolate cake involved?
That's what I'm asking. That's that the was question. What I was fixing to ask. You know what I mean?
There's no telling. And I'm not going to eisegete into the Bible,
right, yeah,
what was there and what wasn't there. There was a division. And Paul said, seek forgiveness.
Yeah.
Seek harmony. Seek togetherness.
I'm harmonizing. Mm-hmm.
Random. Are we still Christian brothers? Or
I'm still saved.
Are you? I've been saved.
Okay.
Random fact.
I'm in Jesus' hand, brother. Ain't nobody gonna take me out.
Sealed until the day of redemption.
Random fact about German chocolate cake, by the way. Do you, mm-hmm, know that it did not originate from Germany?
I did not know that.
It
originated, news to me.
It originated out of Texas.
Stop.
Look it up.
Y'all look it up. We'll look it up off camera. Yeah. That's going to do it tonight here at the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Doug.
We'll see you guys next week.